Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today. I want to talk today from the scripture for a second in Ephesians 3:20. It says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He will give it to us. God wants us to ask and ask big. Everybody shout, ask big.
Ask big.
Ask big. I'm on a church board in Corpus Christi, Texas, a church called Church Unlimited. And Church Unlimited is pastored by Bill Cornelius, formerly trained by the Baptist, not a Baptist church anymore, but it's a great, great church. And they were believing God to build the church, and they needed a 95,000 square foot of steel. And to put that in context, here at our city, this is 150,000 square feet. I think it was $17 million that they needed, and Bill needed to go to the church Sunday and give them the pitch, saying, hey, we need to sacrifice, we're going to give, how do we work, make this happen? Steel really went through the roof, and they had flight delays, and he was in Houston. He was under so much pressure. He was calling me and everybody, freaking out. I can't make it. I don't know what's happened. I'm just freaking out. And a guy comes up to him at the airport and says, hey, how are you doing? I heard somebody told me you're a preacher. And he's like, yeah. How many of y'all know sometimes preachers don't even act saved? Come on, somebody. And so he kind of blew him off for a second. He said, hey, you know, I'm a member of a church in Arkansas, and have you ever done a capital campaign, like a building? It's just so ironic. How many of y'all know the footsteps of the righteous person are ordered of the Lord? And he said, yeah. He goes, well, I'm in the oil business, and I have a friend named Sam Wallman. He owns Walmart, and I had set up an appointment for my pastor and them to meet, and so he went in and he met with them. And he sat down, and Sam said, hey, what can I help you with? He said, well, I'm building a church. He said, yep, know that. What can I help you with? How many of y'all know he's a busy man building Walmart? Prices are falling like crazy. So he goes, I wanted to tell you about the church. He said, great, what can I help you with? He said, well, I was hoping that you could lead the way maybe with a check to help us. And he had folded up a check and put it in his pocket. And he said, yep, I'd love to help you. How much do you need? He says, oh, gosh, you know, I'm going to think big. I'm asking big. He said, you know, $250,000. He said, is that what you need? He said, yeah, that'd be awesome. He said, no problem. So Sam turns around, true story. I'm on the church board there. He signs the check for $250,000, slides it over to him, pulls out this check, rips it up. He said, what are you doing? He said, oh, that was for $1 million, but you said you only needed $250,000. How many of y'all hate it when that happens, right? Oh, man. So if Sam was thinking bigger than he was thinking, perhaps God, I know this is going to freak you out, but is it plausible? Is it possible that God is bigger than Walmart? Come on, somebody. I mean, possibly. I don't know. I mean, this here was the Sam's. This building was the Sam's at one point. Sam's is a big deal. Sam was a big deal. But I'm telling you, Jehovah Jireh is a bigger deal than that. And he said, if you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he will give it to you. Somebody ought to say amen to this. So don't make your asking based on your limited thoughts. Don't make your asking based on what you've went through or where you think you should be. Make your ask, your big ask. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to have a big ask. Make a big... I got myself in trouble on that, man. This late service, come on. This is pretty wild up in these late services at West Palm. I always get crazy at that. And I do apologize. Well, then a lot of conservative people out there. Now, ask the Father, whatever you ask the Father, in the name of Jesus, He'll give it to you. So I want to make sure that we're asking the right thing, that we're saying, hey, God, I'm asking you not to bless me so I can have a bigger car, so I can have a bigger house. And again, bigger, I want you to write this down, bigger is not better. Everybody shout, bigger is not better. All the guys with little arms like me say, bigger is not better. Come on. I mean, we can get into stuff other people can't get in, right? Bigger is not better. I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless you, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having stuff. I am saying, though, that God is not giving you the ability to get stuff so you can heap it up on yourself. He gives us the power to get wealth that we can establish the covenant, that we can clothe the naked, that we can feed the hungry, that we can reach people in Palm Beach County and St. Louis County for Jesus through television and billboards. Somebody ought to say amen to this. It's all about reaching people. For God so loved the world, He gave. He wasn't a taker. He was a giver. He gave. I was at the Dream Team Gala. I think they have a picture of a great family at our church in West Palm Beach. This family, I got to spend a little time with the Remswicks at the gala, and I asked them, I'm sure they have it in Florida up here, we're struggling, there it is right there. They started telling me their story. They said, well, We were driving down the road, and our family, you know, was in a little bit of transition. We were needing church, we're needing God in our life, and we're asking God for direction, and they saw a sign. And the sign said faithchurch.com. And then they started watching online. And now they're some of our most dedicated, faithful volunteers in West Palm. They load in and load out. Come on, every Sunday I see them after growth track. They're tearing down the nursery. They're putting in the nursery. They're doing everything. Their life was changed, but here's the key. When their life was changed, they didn't say, hey, here I am, God bless me. No, they're saying, now my life has been changed. Now I need to use my life to change somebody else's life. So that's why we have billboards, because the Bible said, go ye in the highways and compel them to come in. That's why we spend all that money on television, so we can reach people that are far from God. Because God wants people that are far from Him to know Him. And again, I'm glad you got a car. I'm glad you got a house. But no matter what, we've got to make sure that we are focusing, check this out, not on dynasty, but legacy. Dynasty is, I want to get all I can all I get, send them a can. I want to have a big car, big house, I'm building a dynasty. A legacy is what I'm preaching from today. My dad started a church here in St. Louis. It was only a church of about 180 people when I took it over years ago, but he left a legacy. The legacy wasn't a lot of money. The legacy wasn't big buildings. The legacy wasn't a big church, but what he gave me was the root to the fruit. He said, do what's right because it's right and do it right. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I had to act saved before I got saved because my dad would beat the devil out of me. Somebody ought to help me right now. My dad was like, no, you're going to church and you're going to do right. My dad was the type to say, I know that girl's bad. I've seen that kind of girl before, and you're going to stay away from that girl. And I'd be like, oh, man, I like that girl. We were having fun. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? Raise your hand, you bunch of liars. You know that girl. Some of y'all are like, I'm not raising my hand because I married her. What's up? All right. But the whole point is that oftentimes we're leaving a dynasty instead of a legacy. We're working for the stuff instead of working for the master who created the stuff. So God is able to do big things in 19 and 2020, and he wants to do them, but will you allow him to do it? Legacy is pointed out in this scripture in Psalms 112, verse 5 and 6. It says, good will come to him who is generous and who lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Check this out, Weldon. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. A righteous person will be remembered forever. So right now we're talking about my dad's legacy. It's remembered forever. We're not remembering his car, his boots, his money in the bank, his gold coin, whatever. We're not doing that. We got to make sure that we are actually using our life to make an eternal difference. And that is like, we got a bucket list. How many of y'all got a bucket list? Raise your hand, you got a bucket list. Maybe it's going to Switzerland. Maybe it's being at the Eiffel Tower. Whatever that is, your bucket list. But make sure you have some bucket lists for the kingdom. Because at the end of the trail, because we're all going to pass away at some point, and when that happens, we don't want our legacy to be, oh, guess what? Their whole dream was to buy as much stuff as they could and to go to the Eiffel Tower. We want to say, hey, they helped with the food pantry. They were volunteering here. They were serving there. They used what God gave them to tithe back to the church so that the church could be strong. You find folks here in Weldon, you're the ones who sent us to Florida. And you started a church in Florida that's changing a lot of lives. And now Florida has grown in such a way that it's self-sustaining, and they got LED walls, and they got all this blessing. But it came from some people here saying, we're cool enough with our treasure to say, hey, if God has people in Palm Beach County that need it, we're actually going to be people to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You started it, and I believe it's a thing that God will continue to bless your business if you'll continue to bless God. But if not, Psalms 112 verse 6, it says, surely he will not be shaken, therefore the righteous will be in everlasting. So what we're doing here is legacy. It lives on forever. How many of y'all, your life really has been changed by this church? Raise your hand, all campuses. Come on, your life's been changed. How many of y'all think your life is even a better quality of life? Maybe it wasn't changed, but it's a better quality of life than it was before. Now, let me talk to you for a second. As a dad, I want to talk to all campuses for a minute. I'm a 49-year-old guy who wants to make sure that spiritual sons and daughters come under this ministry. So I have chats with my kids a lot, have daddy-daughter talks. My daughter right now is in California. She's flying back from L.A. She's doing some singing and different stuff out there. Last night, she called me. She's so impressed. Oh, my gosh, I'm sitting here. It's just crazy. Like, Lady Gaga's right here. And I want to let her know that's really cool, but I'm not impressed with Lady Gaga. It's not that I don't love her music. I think it's beautiful, but I want to make sure that my daughter knows, watch that legacy that come from my dad. The win is not Hollywood. God saves his best for the church. And here's what happens if you go for the win in Hollywood. Anybody ever heard of Katy Perry? Raise your hand if you heard of Katy Perry. Well, Katy Perry used to live at our house during the wintertime with our dad, Keith, and Mary. And they would live with us because little Katy would be there. And she'd be saying, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the ocean." We didn't know Katy would be Katy Perry, but there were prophecies over her life that she would sing to millions of people. Her dad's a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost guy. Mom the same way. But what happens is when you move to California and that talent gets exposed to people that will actually overexpose it, and now Hollywood will eat you up and spit you out, take you and rake you over the coals. And we still are friends with the family. We still love her. She'll send videos, posters to Ashton. We're still friends. But I'm just here to tell you, tell Katy, tell all of them, the win is not to say, "Look what I have amassed," because the world is getting further away from the Word, and the Word is the answer. The church is the answer. Come on, somebody ought to help me. I'm telling you the truth right now. The win is not what you think the win is. When you die, you still die. You go to heaven or hell. Who are you taking with you? Those are the things that make an impact, that leave a legacy to make a difference. And sometimes you need, like this conversation right now is really quiet. I can feel it here, and I can only assume we're experiencing the same quiet audience at all the campuses. So let's go a little deeper as a dad. Put up a picture of my daughter-in-law. I don't call her daughter-in-law, it's daughter-in-law. That's MJ, and she's sweet. She's precious, very close with all my family. We're all together all the time. MJ the other day, she's a very giving person. And so she wanted her brothers and sisters to come up and all their kids to come up, and she wanted to go to Disney, and she wanted us to go with them, which is so sweet. But we're all having a good time, and she's writing notes from Donald Duck to the little girl, notes from Mickey Mouse to the other little girl, Minnie Mouse to the other. She's got it all planned out, like, "Oh my gosh, they sent a note. You know, they brought these cookies to my room. Mickey knows I'm here." It's unbelievable. She's having a great time. It's the perfect trip. But then we all went on a ride together, and MJ lost her sunglasses. When she got off, it threw her off. Come here, Julie. It threw her off for a minute, and now she can't think of anything except the sunglasses. So while she's talking about the sunglasses, I can tell that she's missing the mark. She's not seeing the big picture. She's not seeing what's important. So I do this with all my kids, including her. You're about her height. So I said, "Hey, MJ, come here." So we're walking. I go, "Here's the deal. You lost the sunglasses. We're probably never going to get them back. Maybe somebody will put them lost and found. It's possible, but it doesn't matter. I got money. I'll buy you new sunglasses, but you need to not make a big deal out of it. We're done. Forget it. Over." She went, "Yes, sir. Come on." She shook it off. She moved on. Then I went while she was on the next ride, spent $300 too much. Come on, somebody, because it's Mickey Mouse, right? I spent money, but then I solved the problem. But greater, what I was really doing was teaching her culture. And I want to teach you culture. Don't allow the enemy to allow one or two problems that you have to distract you from why God doesn't love me or what's going on in my world. Come on, somebody would love to be you today. Somebody ought to say amen to this right now. Come on, give him praise, Weldon. Give him praise. Let's go. So you have to make sure that you're keeping the main thing the main thing. So my legacy would be to you is to tell you, when we go to prisons and we serve people, you need to be a part of that, and you are. I got these numbers just this week, and through our ministry and the combination with KCM, we gave away 40,827 Bible materials in prisons throughout America. Pastor Omar and the team with care packages like crazy. Kids camp, Rev camp, food pantry, street ministry. We helped build a church in Tijuana's prison, the first ever physical brick and mortar location. We're a part of that. That is a legacy to make a difference. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I'm talking about when Harvey hit and Irma hit, we were there as first responders. We were there because we love people. Because saved people serve people. Shout it with me. Saved people serve people. So we need to make sure, what are we going to be known for? I want to be known for certain things. I want to be known to be a good dad. My dad was a good dad. I want to be known as a good pastor who's faithful here in Palm Beach. I'm not going to Dallas to start a church. I'm not going to L.A. to start a church. I'm not going to New York to start a church. I got enough churches now. It's just these two cities, that's it. And we're going to build more churches in these cities, because if there's a Walgreens and a CVS on every corner because people are sick and they need help, there needs to be a faith church on every corner. And there are a lot of great churches, but this is a church that is inclusive. Come on, somebody. It's saying, hey, everybody come in here. Come in here, okay? Gays, straight, drug addicts. Even attorneys. We're saying everybody is welcome at this church. Just because people sin different than you doesn't mean that we need to judge him. Am I condoning any of that stuff? Absolutely not. Read my lips. I'm not condoning it, but read my lips. I'm never going to condemn it, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that none should perish, but all should come to repent. Somebody ought to help me. We are the church that's going to make a difference here. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to this. We're going to make a difference in St. Louis County and Palm Beach County, and we're going to change the world. We're going to be a generous church. We're going to be a loving church. We're going to be a serving church. We're going to be a caring church. We're going to be a worshiping church. We're going to be a church that pulls ourselves away from the world and puts ourselves closer to God. Now, again, this dad talk. Raise your hand if you're okay with me talking to you like a dad today. Raise your hand. Some of you didn't raise your hand. I'm still going to talk to you like that, because you know what? You need it. Don't make me come down there. All right, so I worry sometimes about a lack of commitment. Not just to church, but a lack of commitment. I actually have some facts that are pretty cool. 92% of the church is growing at 90% faster than any other religion globally. For every 100 babies born, 103 are being converted to Christ in the 1040 window. These are people that are coming from Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. However, here's the sad part. The bad news is America is the only one out of the 16 countries that are listed that this is not true of. So we got fires, we've got floods, we've got terrorism. Now, on our money, it says, in God we trust. On our money, it says, God bless America. But the problem is, it's just a statement. No longer does America bless God, we curse God. We lie about God. We do everything that God told us not to do as a country. I'm not saying you're the church, but I'm saying at large. So we sit there and look and wonder why this is happening. See, every time we pull back and we pull ourselves away from God, it exposes us to the devil who came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I know a lot of preachers don't preach this, but I'm here to tell you, it's a time to draw near to God. It's a time to shut off the world. It's a time to turn on music that's powerful. It's a time to get around movies that are powerful. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm right. I'm telling you I'm right. I'll look at you when you come to me crying and your marriage falls apart, and I won't say I'm right, but I will preach it next Sunday to tell people, you know I'm right. You can't be sneaking around talking to people on Instagram that you're not married to. Oh, well, this person, it's all innocent. No, it's not. If you cannot keep your phone flipped up while your wife or husband is around, something is wrong with you. You will be found out, and when you're found out, I'll see you a little butt at church, and you'll be like, oh, God, ah, God. I'm saying do it now, Jack. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. I'm having the dad talk with you. Drop it. Stop it. Admit it. Quit it. Forget it. Because you want to leave a legacy. What are you going to be known for? Make sure you're known for reaching people that are far from God. If you haven't been through Growth Track, do it. Connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, make a difference. You know it, but what are you going to do it? Today, here, today at Weldon, today in West Palm. Go out. I can, just like I'm standing on the stage right now, I can see the door. The door's on the left side. You walk out the left door instead of the right door, and you go to Growth Track today. These are the things that connect you to God that really give you a legacy. Matthew 22, verse 7, it says, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent the armies to destroy those and the murderers and burned up the cities. This is the God that we're talking about of the Old Testament. Matthew 27, verse 8 says, then he said to the servants, the wedding is now ready, but those that are invited were not worthy. That's scary. Therefore, go to the highways and find them, invite them to the wedding. So the servants went out to the highways and gathered them, all whom they found, both good and bad. Back to that scripture again. We've got to make sure that we are the people who say, hey, God, my life is not my own. I'm going to invite people to church. I'm going to tell people everywhere about God and the things of God, and I'm going to share my story. Because here's the kicker. Everywhere you go, there are people that are hurting. And you'll be known for something. I've spent my life trying to be known for Jesus and preaching a message of hope and blessing and favor. In fact, we got pulled over on the way out of here earlier, between here and Sunset Hills. That never happens, but we did. As soon as we got pulled over, I told Chris, hey, throw your hands out the left side. These are dark tinted windows. You'd want that cop's not scared, because it automatically see through his hands out. And Chris goes, hey, wait a minute, because I was looking at my phone. He goes, he's coming up on your side. So he came up on my side. I rolled it down. He looked at me, and he just started smiling. He loved me. His life has been blessed by the church. He looked and said, hey, where are you going? I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I told him to speed. If you're going to give a ticket, give it to me, because I told him to speed. I got to go. He said, no, no, no. I've hopefully not delayed you more than 5 seconds. Go. And so we're like, bam, and we were gone. But I'm not saying it's okay to speed. I am saying thank you to all the cops that blessed me when I walked by. But my whole point is he knew me when he saw me because I have made myself a reputation. I am leaving a legacy. Not that I'm perfect, but I want people to know if you see me at a restaurant, come say hi to me because I'm going to love you. If you see me at the mall, come say hi to me because I love you. I want to be the people's preacher. I think that so many preachers are genetically modified preaching the gospel, and I'm real and raw and organic, and I haven't been perfect, but I am here to tell you that I am a servant of God. Come on, somebody. And I'm no better than you, and you're no better than anybody else. We got to reach out to all people. Catholic people, Baptist people, Presbyterian, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist, Fifth Baptist. We are all, I believe these labels limit us. We at Faith Church want to be a church that's giving away, even today in West Palm, those CDs that you're going to be given. Give those to your friends. Tell them, listen to this sermon. It'll bless them. And when you do that, you're more like Jesus. Now, as a dad talking again, how do you get yourself closer to the Lord? Here's what I encourage you to do. There are times when I do this, and I want you to write this down, this phrase, a meticulous ear. That means you listen very closely. And I can't, sometimes I got a meticulous ear. Say like we're getting ready to, you know, buy the Wellness Spring campus. I had a meticulous ear. Ferguson Florissant, meticulous ear, because I don't want to make a false move. I want it to be the Lord. So how do I do that? I listen to music all the time that says, walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. Lord, you have never failed me yet. Okay, and then I move on to another song. Another song keeps coming up, you know. And you're listening to songs that are conducive to the Lord. And now when you see an ambulance or you see people, you're like, man, I got to invite those people to church. God, oh, God, help them. They're driving down the road in that ambulance. Lord, help them. You're more like Jesus when you draw close to Jesus. Now if you're listening to, I want to do her in the bathroom. I want to do her in the closet. It wasn't me. Come on, somebody. I like big butts and I cannot lie. That song got the nursery full. Come on, somebody. That's when you were on the wrong path. Not to say that you can't listen to that because, I mean, those are two really good songs. I'm just saying there are seasons in your life. I got people going, oh, my God. Well, I'm fine. Thank God I didn't bring a visitor. Trust me, they would like this. People love me. Heathens, your friends, they like PD. Come on, somebody. Oh, help me right now because we're real. Everybody shout real. I'm not pretending to be somebody, because if I was pretending to be somebody, I wouldn't be that. Just here to tell you, if you want more out of life, if you want to fulfill your God-given destiny, if you want to leave a legacy, if you want to make a mark, if you want to impact the world, you do it by saying, God, every morning when I wake up, before I touch the phone, I touch the throne, God, choose me, God. God, help me to help your people. God, here I am, a man of unclean lips, and God, I shouldn't have done this, and I shouldn't have done that. God, I forgive me today, but God, I thank you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, I hallow your name today. I thank you, God, that you're Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Makedah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Adonai. God, you're the great I am. You're the Prince of Peace. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for picking me, God. Thank you, God, that you allowed me and my family to preach the gospel. God, it's such an honor for you to pick me. God, thank you for not shaming me. God, I thank you, Lord, that your glory is made perfect in my weakness. God, I thank you that your grace is sufficient for me. God, I thank you that the blood of Jesus and the hand of the Lord is on me and covering me and my staff and my church member. God, I thank you right now that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Lord, I thank you that people are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. People that need help and people that are called to help. The money that I need to propagate and preach the gospel is coming to me now in Jesus' name. Satan, I bind you over my finances. I bind you over my marriage. I bind you over my church. Somebody ought to help me right now. And if you pray that kind of prayer, the devil's like, screw that, I can't mess with that guy. Come on, somebody, because you're trained to bless God, worship God. That's a legacy. And you know what I learned that? I learned that from my dad. My daddy was a man of prayer. I would hear him in his room as a young boy. Oh, God. Oh, God, I pray for Cuba. I remember in the 80s, oh, God, I bind that over Cuba. Lord God, help the Cuban people. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I bind that demonic spirit over Cuba. He'd been there for hours with a globe. And now when Cuba opened up, and we were some of the first people to go in there and print Hi, God, in Spanish. And as we speak today, there is an underground printer printing thousands of high gods to absolutely flood Cuba. And it was because of my dad's prayers. Come on, somebody, years ago. So don't tell me about legacy. And I'm telling you, you're either going to leave a legacy of being a self-absorbed, iPhone watching, Gucci buying, Lambo driving person, or you're going to say, God, I can have all that, but that stuff is something I have. It's not something that has me. My priority is you. My priority is your house. Come on, Weldon. Somebody ought to help me. Come on, Westfall. My priority is for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We need billboards everywhere. We need churches everywhere. We need people that are serving God everywhere, loving people back to health, because you know good and well. The only reason why you're here is because you had a grandma or a mom or somebody that prayed for you. Raise your hand if that's who I'm talking to. And you know who she was. And you knew what she stood for. And she told you, I don't care what you do. You, as long as you live in my house, your little head's going, your butt's going to church today. That's what you're going to do. And then on Saturday night, she was laying out your little dress and laying out your little hat, laying on your little white leotard. And she had you in your little suit and had you in your little clip-on tie because she was teaching you to go to church. And it's the only reason why you're here today. Are you going to let that legacy die? Are you going to get up and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to train my kids to do the same thing? Somebody ought to shout amen. Well, he don't want to. I don't care what he wants. Remember this feast, as long as you live in my house, under my roof, somebody ought to help me. Eating my food, you going to... Anybody remember this? Come on, raise your hand. Kids don't know nothing about this. Come on, somebody. Anybody remember this? Anybody remember this? This is going to hurt me. Remember when you didn't understand that statement? And you're like, oh yeah, let me use it then. But you didn't understand. It does hurt when you have to discipline your kids. It does hurt when you have to preach sermons like this as a pastor. It does hurt to stand up for what's right and do it right in a world that's not right. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's time that we stand up and celebrate God, the things of God, the house of God. Somebody ought to help me. The people of God. And as long as I've got breath in my lungs, as long as I can move these legs, I'm going to preach in St. Louis County, in Palm Beach County, and I'm going to tell everybody that every bar, every strip club, every, come on, from the White House to the outhouse, that God loves them, and he's not pointing the finger at you this way, he's pointing it this way, saying, I'm going to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back, I'm not mad at you, I'm madly in love with you. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, give him about 10 seconds of crazy praise. Come on now.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.